The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Last week, but I just feel like we're going to have a little bit of fun. Now, Naaman, verse 1, was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he was a leper. He was a leper. Now, bands from Aram, which is in today known as Syria, had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my servant would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and he told what the girl had said from Israel. "By all means, go," the king of Aram said. "In fact, I'll send you with a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took from the king said, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your clothes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me, stand in front of me, call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went away in rage. He was angry. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, you would have done it. How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all of the world except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered and said, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I would not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again be burnt, will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other God but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he's leaning on my arm, and I bow there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." Verse 19, just at the beginning. And Elisha said to him, "Go in peace." This morning, I just want to stay on the focus of keeping it old school. Can we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, I just want to bounce back. Last week, we kicked off a new series called Keeping It Old School. If this is your first time here at City Place Church, welcome. It's our honor to have you here on this Sunday morning. We appreciate your giving of your Sunday. We started a series last week that said Keeping It Old School, and we talked about how before we can ever do anything in our life, the old school folks knew that there was power in God's word. And we said that in order for us to live the life that God has called us to, our life must be built on God's word. We gave out a few things. We said that faith activates God's word, and that revelation activates faith. And then once our faith is activated, We have to meditate on God's word because that activates revelation. We said that we must accept God. We must accept that the word of God is its authority and that we must assimilate it. We must make it our own for it to become truth. We have to listen and read and discover. And then we said we have to apply its principles. We have to apply its principles. So I have to accept that it's the authority, that there's power in it, that what God said, he means. When God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. But I can't just see that. I have to apply it to my own life, my own situation, because then it will become true. I have to listen to it. I have to read it. I have to do it. I have to obey it. But after that, I have to apply it. So I can't just hear it and do nothing. I can't just read it and just let it sit on the shelf. I have to actually grab hold of it, apply it to my own life, and then I have to put it to action. In the story that I read to you, it's found all of the things that I just read to you. Have to accept its authority, apply it to my own life, and then I have to make it adaptable to my situation. The story that I read to you, 2 Kings chapter 5, I noticed I didn't say number. We're progressing. Chapter 5 says this. It says that there was a man by the name of Naaman. It says that Naaman was loved by his boss because God had given him favor. And it said that although he had favor, he had leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease that started on the outside and worked its way and ate to the bone. It's the same sort of thing that you and I today can be dealing with, what started off as a little speck of something that ultimately eats away at us and could destroy us. It can destroy our dreams. It can destroy our faith. It can destroy all that you believe in God for. And it all started because we didn't treat it early on. Have you ever had something that became an addiction and it started off just as a little teeny speck? So it says that Naaman had leprosy. And back in biblical days, the story is really rare. In biblical days, anyone that had a skin disease, leprosy, they made their own camp outside of the city gates because people viewed it as contagious. So to find that Naaman is actually still working in his father's house, his boss's house, tells me that you and I can still function with God's favor and still have things that's not supposed to be attached to us, eating us alive. Because it says that the story goes that he has favor of God. He has the favor of God while he has this thing eating him away. Can I tell you that even though you could be away from God, you could still have the favor of God on your life and you live in with something that's eating you alive? Naaman is functioning every single day and everyone around him is comfortable with it. They're comfortable with seeing Naaman limp in, and they're comfortable with just going, "Hey, Naaman, how are you?" and not being able to give him hugs and tell him good morning up close, shake your hand, how you doing today? Some people are standing away from us because they're tolerating us, because they can see the thing that's eating us alive, and they're okay with it. So the story goes that he's got great favor with his boss, but there's a little girl that he actually captured as a raid, pulled her in. She is now a slave. She was once free. Now she's a slave. And the story says that he is going throughout the day and she has compassion for him. She is of the house of God. She's got faith of God. She is a Christian, to apply it to today. She sees that her sinner boss has something eating him alive. And instead of her saying, "You deserve it because of your sin," it's God in his anger punishing you. Have you ever seen those Christians on TV? He's punishing you. It's God's judgment. Instead of saying that, she says, "I may not like it here, but he deserves better than the things that's eating him alive." Can I tell you, church, that even though we might disagree with the things that you see, they still need an encounter with God. Even though you might have argued with your spouse, Even though your kids might be driving you crazy, there is no way that you can't look at them and go, if they don't get a hold of this and they don't have an encounter with God, it will eat them alive. This girl who doesn't like working where she's working, can't stand the boss person. Have you ever been there? Instead of her going, I am out of here, she's moved and she says, hey, boss man, I know somebody who speaks the word of God, a prophet back in biblical days and even today, can see and hear what God is saying and what God sees, and they declare it to you. So the prophet represents the word of God. What we talked about last week, our life being built on the word of God. You have to accept its authority, you apply it to your own life, and then you have to apply it practically. So this young girl says, hey, there is somebody close to you who has the word of God in them. And all you need to do is apply it to your sickness and then act on it. The word of God is around you. All you have to do is grab hold of it, apply it to your own situation, and then act on it. Y'all okay? Do I need to turn up the lights? The word of God is around you. All you have to do, one who don't know God, is pull it into your circumstance, your situation, and then act on it. Can I tell you that people are around you? And I know that we might be church people, and we might feel like that they don't need God, but you and I have to go, hey, there's somebody who can help you. You introduce them to the word of God, put it in your own situation, and then they have to apply it. So she says to him, hey, boss man, I'm telling you, the word of God is in Samaria. If you go to the place where the word of God is, you can apply it to your sickness. This whole thing will stop. I promise you. So in full faith, Naaman says, I'm going. He goes to the king. The king writes a letter. Naaman takes it to the people of Israel. The king in Israel is like, yo, you got the wrong dude. I can't heal nobody. What's going on? You got the wrong guy. You gave the wrong letter. You gave the letter to the wrong person. Elisha hears about it and says, I've got the word of God as my foundation. Bring him to me. So the story says that the guy goes to Elisha's house, knocks on the door. Elisha yells down, yo, Gehazi, get the door. Gehazi runs down to the door. He says, yes, how may I help you? My name is Naaman, and I have leprosy. Yo, Elisha, guy down here, he's got leprosy. He's got leprosy? Yeah, he's got leprosy. All right, tell him to go wash himself. You know what? Tell him to go wash himself 7 times. Oh, here, one more thing. Not at his own house. Tell him to go down to the dirtiest river that can be found, the Jordan River. Okay, close the door. I got to go back to lunch. It's funny how sometimes you and I can approach God, and it seems like even though he's listening, he doesn't want to come down. Anybody ever been there? You right there. You've done everything. You've heard Travis and the team say, lift your hands. Taisha gets up, and she challenges you, and you're like, yeah, man. I don't even normally lift my hands in church, but I'm going to do it today. And then you're like, God, speak to me. And he's like, hey, I'm in the back room. I'm in the back room right now. I'm in the back room. Hey, will you go deal with whatever they're dealing with? So Naaman hears this. And Naaman is like, he told me to do what? He want me to go wash? I washed up before I got here. I done brought all this stuff. I got 10 sets of clothes. I got shekels. I got all sorts of stuff to give to him. And he gonna come down. He gonna stay up there. Gonna send somebody else to answer the door. He won't even come down and do the charismatic service of praying for people, laying hands, blowing on my stomach, people getting knocked out in the power of the Holy Ghost. He won't. I watched it on TV. When a miracle's supposed to happen, I saw the people. They were laying hands on people. That's what I thought was going to happen. You mean to tell me he wants me to just do something easy? I ain't doing it. He's supposed to do this the way I saw this. Have you ever prayed a prayer request and you already mapped out how God was supposed to do it? Have you? Oh, my goodness. Listen, before we moved here, no lie, I've said this before. Before we moved here, we were already going to be in our permanent facility. And we were going to have 19 services. No lie. Like the first week, I was like, ha, next week, join us. For our 8 o'clock, our 9, our 10, 11, our 12, and our 1:30. We will also be starting a month from now our Friday night and our Saturday night. When it wasn't happening, I was like, Lord Jesus, why are we still at one service? Lord, why am I up here singing on a Sunday morning? Where's our drummer? Where's our keyboard player? You told me 19 services. Anybody ever been there? You ever been there? And I don't know how it relates to you. Maybe it's the lost job when you move to the new city. And they say, oh, you know what? By the way, I'm sorry, we're not hiring. Maybe it's the family member. Maybe it's the marriage. And you started off with thinking you were going to be Billy Dee Williams. You've seen a love affair on TV with Richard Gere, Warren Beatty. And you're like, this is how my life is going to be. Old school. I know new school movies too. And it's not panning out. And you're like, but this is the way I thought it was going to be. So the people around him go, whoa, 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 boss, 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 boss. Hold up, hold up, hold up. He responded to you. He responded to you. You knocked on his door and he gave you a response. He gave you a word from the Lord. It's not hard. If it was hard, you would have done it. But since it's easy, it is blowing your mind because it's not the way you scripted it. Can I tell you that God will sometimes say the most elementary of things to you? But you and I will fight for something that's hard because we position ourselves that our life should be built in a hard way. I've got to grab hold of it. I've got to dig these ditches and I've got to pay the price. And sometimes he's like, just go wash. And you go, but I don't deserve to just go wash. I've got to have the charismatic experience in my relationship with God. He's like, just wash up. Sometimes we make our relationship with God so hard. And he's like, just go take a bath. If it would have been hard, you would have done it. Well, why can't I do it in the two rivers close to us? If he would have said that it was hard, you would have done it. Sir, go wash. So it says that he goes and does it. And he dips 7 times. His skin gets made well. Here's the first thing that I just want to point out in the story. In order to accept God's word as foundation, you have to tell yourself that I have to humble myself. He humbled himself with this little girl who was his employee. She says to him, hey, you need to see where the word of God is, and you need to make it a part of your foundation. You've got to accept its authority. You've got to apply it to your own circumstance, and then you got to act on it. He looks at this girl who he has grabbed into slavery, just taken her. And he humbles himself and says, I need to listen to her. I need to listen. Can I tell you that sometimes you and I, instead of having it all mapped out, sometimes you and I just need to listen to people who have a foundation with God. We can't always know everything. I've got an 8-year-old son. Right now, we are in the season, if I can be honest with you, we are in the season of the talk back. We are in the season of the talk back. Now, it's a little bit different today. If I talk back as a kid, all of these right here would be veneers. You know what I'm saying? No lie. No need for braces. No need for braces. These would have been veneers. I don't. Anybody else grow up in the old school days where it was like, hey, I ain't doing it. Mom, I need to go to school. There's no more school. It is summer break. You have missed the last 3 months of the school year, son. We're going to the dentist in the morning. Why is it, Mom, that I just need, I'm on this smoothie diet? Well, son, the dentist will tell you in the morning. So we're in the season of the talk back. The kids just want to talk back. They just want to talk back. And I'm trying to tell my son, son, hey, you're 8. You are 8. You do not know how to play the Xbox 360 the way Dad does. I grew up in the area of the Nintendo. You don't know nothing, son. We only had 2 buttons and a T-pad. Dad can work all 19 of these on the control. You don't want none, son. Step back. I'm trying to tell him, son, you don't know as much as you think you might know at 8. Humble yourself. And he'll look at me and say, but Dad, I don't like being humble. And I'm like, son, I'm going to give you a little tool. If you don't humble yourself, several things will happen. People won't want to hang out with you, and God will do it for you. If you and I can humble ourselves and accept God's word as its authority, that if he told me that it's possible, I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Nope. I'm going to accept it as its authority, apply it to my life, period, and then let me put it practically. So he humbled himself. John chapter 3, 30 through 31 says this, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He who comes from heaven is greater than anyone else. I'm on earth. My understanding is limited to the things of earth. Let God become greater and greater. You become lesser and lesser. The creator of all things is the one who's designed your plan. All right, let me go to the place where the word of God is. John chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That's the reason why sometimes the people who are outside of the church, you and I envy them, is because we go, they're not Christians, and it looks like their world is exploding. It's because they're walking sometimes in principles that God set in order. And sometimes we look and we go, but they're not Christians. How dare they be blessed? Principles. If I walk in humility, I also have favor. If I walk in humility, I also have favor. In order to accept God's word as foundation, I must dismiss any preconceived ideas. I thought that he was going to wipe his hand across me. I thought that it was going to be glamorous and amazing. It was going to be a spectacle because that's what I'm used to. I have favor with my boss. I have my own office. When I walk around, I tell people to do something and they do it. How dare he tell me that it won't happen this way? Because this is the way that I planned it. See, he started off humble. I'll go. But then the same pride that he was used to came back. He said, go get the man of God. Go get the prophet. Knock on the door for me. Tell him I'm here. He started off humble. And then the easy, simple thing, the word that was spoken, totally went against who he really was. Why can't I bathe in the waters that I'm used to? I'm used to staying at the Ritz, and you're having me at the Sleep Inn, not doing it. How dare you have me at the Sleep Inn when I'm used to the Ritz? I won't do it. I'm not doing it. God has a way of showing you his amazing power, and it doesn't have to be glamorous. God has a way of just showing you that he's just a simple God with great power. So all of the stuff that you sometimes see that happens on church, power, receive the power. All of that is true. All of that is pure. But God also will sometimes say, hey, come here. Just go take a bath. It's not always the parting of the Red Sea where it's charismatic. Sometimes it's, hey, you go wash yourself 7 times. But if you're like me, I'm like, you better part this Red Sea. 19 services. And God is just saying, why don't you just worship me and go deeper with me, with God and with people in 2017, Damon. See, sometimes it's our preconceived ideas that will put a block on the word of God becoming our foundation, because we start off humble. God, I give you my life. God, I receive you. And then the next week, you know what? I can do this myself. I'm going to pray. But God, here's what I want. Here's what I want. I'm going to be applying for this job, and this is the one I want. This is what I'm going for. God, I'm only going to do it this way. God, I want 4%. I want 4% on my mortgage. Because you know how it is. We map it out. I want 4%. I'm going to put 3% down. And we don't give him any room to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you 3.5% with no money down. I know that sounds real practical, but I'm just showing you that if we put him in a box, then we'll get disappointed. And sometimes it looks like he's saying no. It's just that he's like, hey, just humble yourself and let me do it. Just go wash yourself 7 times. It's crazy that even the practical things of our life, God wants to be involved with, and we sometimes make them complicated. And he's just like, hey, just go take a bath. And I'll handle the rest. So in order to accept God's word, we have to dismiss any preconceived notions. So remember, faith activates the word. Revelation activates our faith. Meditation activates our revelation. In order to accept God's word, I must listen. I have to listen. He went away mad. Oh my goodness, these people, man, I can't believe it. I come to his door. He does nothing. Father, whoa. Father, listen. He told you that if you clean yourself, you're healed. Don't miss the answer. Don't miss the miracle. Don't miss the power of God right in front of you. Listen to what he said, not how he said he was going to do it. Listen to the fact that he did say that he was going to heal your body. Listen to the fact that he did make the promise. All you have to do is accept its authority, apply it to your life, and then do the practical aspect of what he's asking you to do. Just listen to what he's telling you. Dad, just listen. Listen. Focus on what he really said. He said that he wants you healed. He said that he wants you restored. He said that he wants to build you back up. He said that he wants your life cleansed. Listen to what he said. So in order for you guys, you and I, to accept his authority, we have to listen. Here's the final thing. And worship team, you can come back up. In order to accept God's word, you and I have to be willing to get dirty. This is really not what I want to do. But I'm willing to try it. See, the Jordan River back in biblical days, it wasn't a clean river. Because it received water from the Sea of Galilee. And it kind of, do you have that little, those photos? That's the Jordan River to my left. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's where we would go to bathe on the beach, right? We'd put our chairs there and put up our, no, The reason why he didn't want to go there was because it looked like that. It was beyond him. And it was a flowway to the Dead Sea, which took everything other than life. People didn't go to the Dead Sea. You hear that things die in the Dead Sea. There's inlets, very few outlets. And so it flowed. And so when the word that was spoken from Elisha said, go to the Jordan River, what he was saying was, I'm sending you to a place that is simple, but it's also dirty. God will sometimes have us deal with things that we normally are afraid to deal with because it seems dirty. Oh, Lord, I got to be able to get in here. It's because I don't play basketball no more. No, don't help me, because then it looked like I'm not flexible. So it's amazing how while God is answering our prayer, he's still dealing with things that we won't need for the next season of our life. He sends them to a dirty place. The dirty place is the painful thing. I don't want to deal with that. I'm not going there, because it's a dirty place. God wants to deal with some of those issues from when you were a kid. God wants to deal with the abuse. God wants to deal with the pain. God wants to deal with past church hurts. God wants to deal with some of the places where you felt like you failed. I know it's a dirty place, but even while he's saying to you, I'm healing you, I'm answering your prayers, he wants to deal with you in your dirty place. And I don't want to go to the dirty place, because I'm used to shielding everybody from my pain. These two rivers up here, they work for me. They work for me. No one knows. This is clean. If I go here, I have to deal with the fact that I am being eaten with my issue from the inside out. In order for you and I to walk and have the foundation of God's word, I have to get a little dirty. And while God is dealing with me, I have to be consistent. It's not comfortable. It's not. It doesn't even look good. But he's dealing with me. So the Bible says that he washes himself. I read this, and every time I've read the story, all I could see was that he had dipped himself. But it says that he washed himself 7 times. Think about this now. Scrub, scrub. Oh, I get up. Oh, scrub, scrub. Because I've accepted its authority. Oh, scrub, scrub. Oh, scrub. Can I tell you that in order for the word of God to take root in your life, you have to stay persistent. You have to stay committed. He could have left at 3 and thought it was enough. Oh, he told me to wash. If it was me, I might have just dipped. No. So the Bible says that he dips 7 times. And at the end of 7 times, it says that he was made cleansed. Can I tell you that if you and I will stay persistent and stay committed to God's word, it'll be our foundation, because we would accept it as its authority, applied it to our life, and done the practical aspect of what God asks us to do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good. Oh, 2 should be enough. Nope. 3. Yeah, okay. Maybe. 4. 5. Okay. Oh, you know what? I'm going all the way. 6. What's 1 more time? 7. Whoa. because in due season, you reap if you faint not. Stay persistent. Stay committed. Because God's going to do for you all that he promised you. Look at the person beside you and say, the word of God needs to be your foundation. Dip and dip again. Let God deal with the dirty places of your life. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes. How many of y'all would say, Damon, I've got some issues in my life. I want to make God the foundation. I want the word to be my foundation. I want my life to be built on him. But I've got some dirty places that I just don't want to address. But this morning, I'm willing to address them. This morning, I want to pray for you. Because I just believe that God wants you to leave here completed. The number 7 in biblical Hebrew means completion. He had him dip 7 times because it was completion. All throughout the Bible, there were people who had to be committed to things that they didn't want to do. Moses had to go back numerous amounts of time just so that God could eliminate Pharaoh. Joshua had to walk around the wall 7 times because the wall had to come down. Bible stories. So you're in the building today, and no one's looking around except for me so that I can know who I'm praying with and praying for. But you say, Damon, I've got some things that I would consider dirty places. Could be finances, could be marriage, could be sickness, could be hurts of the past. And this morning, Damon, those have got to go. Those have got to go because I want Jesus to heal me and I want him to be my foundation. On the count of 3, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm just going to pray with you and then we're going to wrap up our service. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand high enough, long enough for me to see it. No one's looking around except for me. I see you. I see you. You can put your hand down. Now, while your head...
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.